Good afternoon. Shalom. Okay, today we're going to discuss Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a fight that didn't begin in their lifetime, but it's a fight that goes back to Kayin and Hevel. The Ari HaKadosh tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Hevel, and Korach was a Gilgal of Kayin. It's amazing, if you look at the text, language that Moshe Rabbeinu uses, in Bamidbar Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed. Bamidbar Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed. You can pass the books down. Bamidbar Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk 30. Okay, you want to pass it down? Page 241, Pasuk 30. This is Moshe speaking to Korach. And what does Moshe say to Korach in Pasuk Lamed? You have that? In Bria Yivra Hashem, if God will create the new creation, Upatasa Hadama Pia, and the earth will open up her mouth. Those same words that Moshe Rabbeinu uses on Korach, those very same words are used, you go back to the book of Bereishis. Go back to the book of Bereishis when Kayin kills Hevel. Go back to the book of Bereishis, Bereishis 4, Pasuk Yud Aleph. You see the exact same words. The same words that Moshe Rabbeinu uses on Korach, Upatz Adam es Pia, the earth will open up her mouth. And it's the same words that is used when Kayin kills Hevel in Bereishis 4, Genesis 4, verse 11, where God puts a curse on Kayin. After Kayin killed Hevel, in Pasuk 11, Genesis 4, verse 11, God says, Va'ata now orer ata min hadama asher patus aspia, that the earth opened up its mouth to swallow the blood of your brother. The blood of whom? Of Hevel, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who happens to be a reincarnation of Hevel, uses the same words on Kayin, alias whom?
Korach.
Upatz Adam Aspia. There's no kalinky dinky. The Torah uses the same words, Genesis 4, verse 11. After Kayin kills Hevel, God says, Patz Aspia, the earth opened up its mouth to swallow the blood of your brother Hevel. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a Gilgal of Hevel, comes back as Moshe and uses the same words on Korach, alias Kayin, in Bamidbar Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed, the Patz Adam Aspia, the earth will open up its mouth to swallow you, just like the earth opened up its mouth when you killed me when I was Hevel, the earth opened its mouth to swallow my blood. So mida keneged mida. Now the earth will open up its mouth to swallow you. Isn't that incredible? So here you have the Gilgal, the doctrine of Gilgal. And Kayin, what was Kayin's gripe with his brother Hevel? Kina, jealousy. He couldn't stand the fact that God favored Hevel over whom?
Over him.
And that's exactly Korach's gripe, isn't it? The exact same gripe. Korach was jealous. He couldn't stand the fact that God favored Moses over him. Exactly the same old gripe, the jealousy, the kina, when Kayin couldn't stand that Hevel, that God favored Hevel over him. So his tikkun was to come back and we shall overcome. But he failed again. Korach could have been mitaken. He could have been mitakein, but he failed again. He could have rectified the sin by not being jealous, but the jealousy overcame him again. And just like when he was Cain, he couldn't stand the fact that what? That God chose Hevel over him. He came back as Korach again. Instead of rectifying the sin, he just made it worse. He couldn't stand the fact that God chose Moses over him. There's an amazing passage from the Ariya Kadosh. Korach hoyo Gilgul Kayin. Korach was a Gilgul of Kayin. Umosha Gilgul Hevel. And Moses was a Gilgul of Hevel. V'choza Kayin la'olam hazeh. Kayin came back in this world. The Gilgul of whom? Korach kidei l'takein. In order to fix, to repair the damage, to overcome his jealousy. V'lo hoyo Korach kovesh et ayetze shel kinah. If Korach, alias Kayin, would have been Kovesh, what does Kovesh mean?
Conquer
and overcome his kina against whom? Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoye metaken atzmo. Then he would repair the damage to his soul when he killed Kayin, when he killed Hevel. For you take him zochel oilam haba. V'loye nivla ba'adama. Then Korach, if he would have overcame his jealousy and not give in to the kinah against Moses, like he gave in to the kinah when he was what? Kayin against Hevel. He would have repaired his neshama, says the Ariya Kodosh. And if taketh zocha l'olam haba, he would have immediately married the olam haba. V'lo yenivla b'hadama. And he would not have been swallowed up by the earth. Sheba also mokoim shenivla Korach. Listen to this. The same place where Korach was swallowed up by the earth, Shom hoya mokoim shenerak hevel. And that's why it says, Patraza adamas pia. The same place where Korach was swallowed up is the same place where Kayin killed Hevel and the earth swallowed up the blood of Hevel. In the very same place, the earth swallowed up the blood of Korach. Isn't that incredible? Midah keneged midah. In the very same spot where Korach was swallowed up, that's the exact place where Hevel's blood was swallowed up by the earth. God was seeking his blood. So Kayin never paid the price when he killed Hevel. But no one gets away with anything. So Hashem brought him back. And his tikkun was to overcome his kina. He didn't overcome his kina. So he was swallowed up in the exact same spot that Hevel's blood was swallowed up. How many thousands of years earlier? And therefore the Torah uses the same words, Upatsa domas pia, that Moses uses on Kayin, on Korach, alias Kayin. The earth will swallow you up, just like the earth swallowed up the blood of Hevel, alias Moshe. And that was the exact same spot. Now. Yes?
I'm sorry to stop, but I have a little question.
Go ahead.
The Torah itself was where Moshe came from. So who was Korach? Who was he?
Korach was a Gilgal of Kayin. And Moshe was a Gilgal of Hevel. And Hashem brought them back. They had unfinished business. Kayin never paid for his crime. So no one gets away with anything. God has a long memory. If a person doesn't get punished in this lifetime, then God could recycle him. But the debt has to be paid. That's the message of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. They had unfinished business to attend to.
Other than the Gilgal, who was Korach? Moshe, we know who Moshe was. Who was Korach?
Korach was a cousin to Moshe. They both come from Shevet Levi.
Oh, okay.
They're both Levites. Okay. And Korach couldn't stand the fact that Moshe was giving him orders because Korach saw b'nevuah that his great-grandson is Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi shokul keneged Moshe v'Aaron. And he saw that Moshe's great-grandson is going to be Yonatan ben Moshe, ben Gershon ben Moshe, who's going to be a Navi sheket to Avodah Zarah. So the jealousy was eating away at him. Why should I take orders from this guy? My grandson will be Shmuel HaNavi. who equals in weight Keneged Moshe of Aaron. And Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson is going to be a deformed rabbi. Who has more right to lead the Jewish people? So this egged him on until he's self-destructive. The Kinah destroyed him, just like it destroyed Kayin against Hevel, the Kinah.
So why did Hevel have to come back? He didn't do it.
Why did Hevel have to come back? Because of what do you learn from this parable? You see, when a person has to make a tikkun, God has to bring back the one that he engaged in. Because all Jews are responsible one for the other. So how could Kayin do his tikkun if Hevel wasn't brought back? We're all connected. In order for me to do my tikkun, Hashem has to bring back the party that I wronged. Because all Jews are interconnected one for the other. And this point goes so far, Harold, so far. How we're all responsible one for the other. Why should Hevel be brought back? I didn't do anything. To answer your question, we what? Pose another. Min HaTorah, if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, do you blow the shofar?
No.
Min HaTorah, you blow the shofar. Doesn't matter if it's Shabbos, you blow the shofar. Come along the rabbis and they say, Avraham, that the entire Jewish world has to give up the mitzvah of shofar. Why? Because one Jew might forget that what? That it's Shabbos, and he'll come to carry the shofar in the street. So who cares? If he's going to make a mistake, why should I suffer? Remember Fiddle on the Roof? If you had a bad week, why should I suffer? Because one Jew might forget that it's Shabbos and he's going to come to carry. The entire Jewish world has to lose out the mitzvah of shofar. Mitzvah shofar turns the Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamim. You know that? The power of the shofar. So the entire Jewish world loses that mitzvah because one Jew might forget that it's Shabbos and will come to what? Carry. What do you see from here? We're all connected. And to do my tikkun, Hashem has to bring back the other player as well. Unfinished business has to be finished. Yes.
Kina,
envy, the green-eyed monster. That destroyed Kayin, and that destroyed whom? Alias Kayin, Korach as well. He just couldn't handle it. He failed again. He failed the first time. God gave him another chance, brought him back as Korach. And again, he couldn't overcome his kina, his jealousy, his envy. It destroyed him as Kayin, and now it destroyed him again as Korach. Now, there's an amazing observation by the Ari that the word Gilgal is Gematria 72. How do you say reincarnation in Hebrew? Gilgal. What business is God in? God's in the recycling business. Right? God can't allow any Jew to fail. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 60. The Amech Kulam Sadikim. God tells Isaiah in chapter 60, the Amech Kulam Sadikim. What does that mean? God, all your people are righteous. I don't know about you, but I'm not righteous. So how could God, whose God's seal is MS, how could God say to Isaiah, the Amech Kulam Sadikim? All the Jews are Sadikim? What about those who are not Sadikim? What's the answer? You can pay me now, or you can pay me later. The open verse in Isaiah chapter 60. Every Jew is going to be a tzaddik. No matter how many times it takes to be recycled, to come back and again, in the end, the amech kulam tzaddikim. In the end, God says, all of your people, Ayushayo, will be tzaddikim. Because, b'nim atem Hashem alekeichem, we are all God's children. Can a father give up on any child? No father can give up on any child. So the Amir Kula Tadikin, no matter how many times it takes, Gilgal, God is in the recycling business, and the Gematria of Gilgal is Gematria of Chesed. That's not a kalinkiniki. Gimel Lamed, Gimel Vav Lamed is Gematria 72, and that's also the Gematria of the word Chesed. What does Chesed mean? It's an act of loving kindness that God does not give up on any Jewish soul. It's a chesed avoreh, the act of kindness that God will use Gilgal, no matter how many times it takes, to recycle that neshama, It's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will not allow any Jewish soul to fail. Yulgul Gematria Chesed. The Yari HaKadosh points out that the pasuk in Tehillim, Tzadik Katzomo Yifroch. King David says the psalm, the Tzadik, like a date palm tree, will flourish. So Yifroch means what? From the word Tera. Flourish, blossom. I like that word. Tzadik Katzomo Yifroch. We say it out of Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat, right? The Tzadik, like a date palm tree, will blossom. So the Ari HaKadosh points out, Tzadik is what? Kuf. Katamar is a resh. Yifrach is what? Chet. What is it spelled?
Korah.
Spelled Korah. Yeah? Tzadik Kuf. Katamar. Resh. Yifrach Ches. Spells out what?
Korah.
Korah. What does that mean? What the Tzadik will blossom like a date palm tree? And it spells out, the last letter of each word spells out what? Korah. What does that mean, says the Ari? What does that mean?
Korah could have had the prophetic decision.
Exactly. Korah could have been a great tzaddik. What's his tikkun? Tamar. Now, a tamar takes a very long time to grow. A date palm tree takes many years to grow. What was Korach's taina? Take a look what Korach says in Bamidbor Tezayin, verse 3. I don't have the page. Bamidbor Tezayin, beginning of the Pasha. The beginning of the Pasha, that's number 16, verse 3. Beginning of the Pasha, Bamidbor Tezayin, verse 3. I think that's page...
What's the first word, Nick?
Midbar Tezayin. That's page 239. Page 239. Page 239, Pasuk 3. What does Korach say in Pasuk 3 on page 239? Yekalu al Moshe al Aaron ayoyim aleihem rav lechem ki kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim. Korach says we have instant kedusha. Kulam kedoshim, we're all holy. Right? We're all holy already. Without any struggle, we have kedusha. What's the lesson, says the Ari? Tzadik katoma yifrach. Kedusha, there is no instant kedusha. No matter what the Dana says. There's no instant holiness. To attain Kiddusha, you have to be very patient. It has to grow like a katamar, a date palm tree, a lot of mesiras nefesh, a lot of patience until the date palm tree blossoms. So that's Korach's message. His tikkun is tzadik atoma yifroch. There is no instant Kiddusha. Kedusha has to come along a slow, gradual, painful process to reach Kedusha, like one planting a tamar. Gradually, slowly, not like Korach said, we're already instant holiness. And therefore, his message was, Tzadik Katoma Yifrach, spells out Korach. So he got planted in the ground. That Kedusha has to grow at a very slow and gradual pace. And there's no chick-chack, instant Kabbalah. And that was Korach's mistake. Now, this doctrine of Gilgal is actually found, the clearest verse is actually found in the book of Ruth. We read the book of Ruth on Shavuot. There's an amazing, I wonder if they have the book of Ruth in here. Well, if they do. You don't have the book of Ruth in here. No? But the Ramban says that the clearest pasuk in the Torah, in the Tanakh, that speaks about reincarnation is the end of the book of Ruth. In the end of the book of Ruth, Naomi gives birth to a child, and the Navi says, Yulad ben Lenomi. A son was born to Naomi. Not a typo. It should have said, Yulad ben Lerut. Who gave birth to the baby? Ruth gave birth to the baby. But it says, Yulad ben Lenaomi. Naomi gave birth to the son. And a miracle happened that this old Baba nursed this child. That's what it says. Look at the end of the book of Ruth. That who became the wet nurse to Ruth's baby? Naomi, the old Baba. And her breast filled up with milk. Thank you. To the end of the book of Ruth. The end of the book of Ruth, it says, Yulad ben Lenomi, a son has been born to Naomi. And it says in Pasuk 16 at the end of the book, that Naomi took the child and she nursed the child. So Rabbani asked the question, why did it say Yulad ben Lenomi? It should have said Yulad ben Lerut. And why did God perform this miracle that the old Baba's breast filled up with milk and she nursed the baby? That's Mamish a miracle. Why did God do that miracle? Says the Ramban, to prove the principle of reincarnation. That Naomi saw that this child of Ruth was actually her own dead son, Mahlon. And therefore it says, Yulad ben Lenomi. So even though the physical mother, the biological mother was Ruth, Naomi looked at this child and she saw that this was the neshama of her dead son, Mahlon. And therefore, says Nachmanides, who took the child? Naomi. And she nursed it with her own breast, which is a miracle. Why did God perform the miracle? To prove the doctrine of reincarnation. So this simple book, Ruth, which looks like a simple book, contains the secret of Gilgal, says the Ramban, yes.
Rabbi, I always thought, meaning my own interpretation, not that I read from Mefarshim, but I always thought that it was somewhat similar, Naomi taking the baby,
right,
was somewhat similar to Miriam getting her mother to nurse Moshe. Like, not to have the child fed by an originally non-Jewish woman.
Slicha, Reni. We know that a ger, God loves a ger more than he loves a born Jew. Someone who converts to Judaism, what's the most repeated mitzvah of all the 613? The 613 mitzvahs, which is the most repeated mitzvah? The haftanah sager. To love a convert is repeated 36 times, more than any other mitzvah in the Torah. So if you love a ger, buy one, get 36. You hear this? Jews love bargains. 36 times it says, v'haftem es ager. You hear this, Verna? So if you love a ger, buy one, get 36. Jews love bargains. Now why does God love a ger more than a born Jew? So the Chofetz Chaim explains why.
Chose it of his own volition, rather than had it handed down.
Excellent. But the Chofetz Chaim explains it halachically. He says, the Gemara in Kiddushin and Tractate Nida say that every human being has three parents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ava V'Imo, right? Every Jew has three parents, or every human being has three parents. One second. God, father, and mother. So therefore, a person cannot give God all of his love, because he has to divide into three equal parts. He has to love his human parents as well. God understands that. So he can only give a third of his love to God. And the rest he has to share between his human parents. So how much you invest in a relationship is what you get back. So we love God with a third of our love because we have to love our human parents. So that's what we get back. Since a ger halachically has no human parents, the Talmud says, ger shenit gayer kekatan shenolad, that a ger is considered what? A newborn baby. Halachically, he has no, of course he has to treat them with respect and everything, but halachically, a ger has no human parents. He only has one parent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he doesn't have to divide his love in three sections. So he gives all of his love to God. He gets it all back. And therefore the Chofetz Chaim says that's why God loves a ger more than a born Jew, because a ger halachically only has God as a parent. So all of his love he dedicates to his heavenly parent. And that's what he gets back. It's called reciprocity. What's it called? Thank you. What you put into a relationship is what you receive back in return, right? And therefore, God gave us the Tzelem Elokim. Right? He says in Genesis, God gave us the Tzelem. What does Tzelem mean? The English translates image. But Tzelem comes from the Hebrew Tzel. What does Tzel mean?
Shadow.
Shadow. God acts to us like our shadow. The way we treat him is what we're going to get back. Right? The shadow does what you do. The Tzelem. Midah keneged midah. Measure for measure. So this simple verse in the book of Ruth, where it says that Yulat ben Naomi, incredible. She recognized her dead son Mahlon. And to prove this, Hashem made a nest that she suckled the child. She became the child's wet nurse. Incredible. Now, Mahlon. What does Mahlon mean in Hebrew? Sickness.
Machala.
Machala. The same root. He was spiritually sick. He left Eretz Yisrael. He married a shiksa. Ruth was not Jewish. And God, what? Punished him. And he came back. He came back. And this time he was called Oved. What does Oved mean? The servant par excellence to Hashem. The Evet Hashem. Can you imagine God doesn't give up on any Jewish soul to abandon Eretz Yisrael, to marry a shiksa? Hashem punished him, brought him back, this time to be the son of Naomi. Tzicha, the son of what? Ruth? That's pretty wild. That this was Ruth's dead husband. Who was Mahlon? That's pretty wild. This was Mahlon, the son of Naomi, who married Ruth. Hashem punished him, and now he comes back in a different form. He comes back as the son of Ruth. And he becomes the grandfather of whom? Of King David. Can you imagine? God doesn't give up on any Jewish soul. You can pay me now, or you can pay me later. But we have to do it right, no matter how many times it takes. God is in the recycling business, yes?
Well,
he refused to.
Of course, what happened with...
Why did he refuse?
God killed these two brothers because they married Moabite women.
Yeah, but she was already converted. But he didn't recognize the conversion, right? Maybe it was too Haredi. He said this conversion is not a real conversion. He was not, right? So he didn't recognize the conversion. Boaz did.
Boaz never really...
If Ruth was alive today, she'd have a hard time converting.
Boaz never really married her.
Of course he married her. What are you talking about? Read the text, my friend. Read the text. Pasuk 13. Read the text. Hayikach Boaz says Ruth. Boaz married Ruth. She became his wife. Read the text. And it's amazing that the next morning, Boaz was dead. Can you imagine the headlines in the Jewish press? Now, you know who Ruth was. Ruth made... Madonna looked like a kindergarten teacher. Ruth comes from Moab. Moab made Sin City, Moab made Las Vegas look like a playground. Moab was the most immoral nation on the face of the earth, Moab. And Ruth comes from there. And she converted to Judaism, and Boaz was the chief rabbi of Israel. He was 80 years old. And Ruth was a former go-go dancer from Moab. Can you imagine the headlines? Chief Rabbi of Israel marries former go-go dancer, and the next morning he was dead. Can you imagine what the Jewish press was writing? Huh? Can you imagine? But you see, God's ways are very mysterious. God tells the prophet Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. People didn't know Boaz was 80 years old. His time was up the night before. Beam me up, Scott. You know, his time was up, 80 years old. People don't know that God kept him alive one extra night to plant the seed of the Melech HaMashiach in the womb of Ruth and then beam me up. But to the naked eye, imagine the scandal. 80-year-old chief rabbi, what are you marrying this former Moabite, you know, what Moab is famous for? Las Vegas.
The coincidence that when Ruth and Naomi came back, when all the people were coming out of the city, they were going for Boaz's wife had just died.
That's right.
They just buried her, so it also made him single.
So God's ways are very mysterious. We cannot figure out why God does what he does, but you see, it's very strange, the whole idea that David HaMelech is a product of incest. David HaMelech on one side, Ruth comes from Moab. What does Moab mean?
Shut that off.
Moab means from father. That Lot had relations with his own daughter, and they gave birth to a child called Moab. And that's who Ruth comes from. And on the other side, Boaz. Who does Boaz come from? Yehuda v'Tamar. Yehuda was walking on the road. He sees Tamar. He thinks that she's a lady of the night. And he has relations with her. And that's whose ancestor? Boaz. That means the Melech HaMoshiach is a product of incest on what?
Both
sides. His grandma Ruth comes from Moab, Lot and his daughter. And his grandpa Boaz is a product of Yehuda with his daughter-in-law, which is Gilead Ayot in Jewish law. Didn't know it's his daughter-in-law, thought she's a zonah. Tell it like it is. There's no cover-ups in the Torah. Now, why did God do it that way? If David HaMelech was alive today, Reni, could he do a shidduch? They've investigated his background. Oi, what kind of yichus do you have? King David couldn't do a shidduch today, right, Avram? Who'd want to, especially in Borough Park, who'd want to touch him? He's a product of incest on both sides. So God's ways, like he tells Yeshayahu, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. We would do things differently, but God doesn't ask us. But God uses Gilgal as a tool to recycle that neshama, that a person will have to come back again and again, as much as what? As long as it takes now
to get it right.
To get it right. What? He still didn't get it right. Right? You have to keep coming back. But it's very painful for the neshama to come back again. The trauma of birth and all the tzoras in life and then the chibut akever, the suffering that a soul goes through by being born and being dying again. It's terrible anguish. The neshama doesn't want to come down again. But the Mishnah says, Bal korcha ato nolad, bal korcha ato chai. Person has to be reincarnated, the Mishnah says, even against your will. There's an amazing, the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. Mishnah Brura never gets into Kabbalah. It's a legal book, right? But in the Shara Tzion, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, he says something amazing. He says, why do we read the book of Yonah on Yom Kippur? Why read the book of Yonah on Yom Kippur? So the Mishnah Brura says, he quotes the Zohar, he says, Yonah is the symbol of a neshama. The neshama comes down to this world and wants to run away from its mission. Doesn't want to do its mission. And it looks like Yonah would beat the rap, right? He ran to the ocean. It looked like, he got swallowed up by Moby Dick. It looks like he would never do his mission to go and prophesy against Nineveh. And against all odds, what happened? He was forced to do what he refused to do. Says the Mishnah Brura Chofetz Chaim HaKadosh, this is an allegory. Of course, the story happened on a simple level. But if that's the only thing that had happened, it wouldn't be in Tanakh. Yonah is an allegory for every person, every neshama that comes down that thinks it can run away from its tafkid. It can beat the rap, Hashem Musol. No, if you don't do it now, you'll have to go through all sorts of gilgulim, but your mission must be accomplished. And that's the lesson of why we read the book of Yonah on Yom Kippurim. A person has free will, and if he runs away from his mission, Hashem will bring him back again, says the Mishnah Berurah, ot pam, until he gets it right. And he says, why do you have to suffer, says the Mishnah Berurah. Get it right. The Neshama doesn't want to come down here and go through all the suffering and the fear of death and watching the body decompose in the grave. That's anguish for the Neshama. Do it right, and Hashem will not have to recycle you, yes?
Is a gear a gear of a Jew?
What?
Is a gear of a Jew?
Oh, that's a great question. So the Zohar explains that every gear is actually a Yiddish neshama that got fablonjit. That's what the Zohar says. Avram, how do you say fablonjit in English? The Zohar says that any righteous convert is actually the neshama of a Yid who never got lost, took a detour. That neshama needed to go through the anguish of being born a non-Jew. And that anguish is the tikkun until she's allowed to find herself and come home again. And therefore it says, ger shen is gayer. It never says, goy shen is gayer. Because a goy cannot become a Jew. That's not possible, says the Zohar. A convert who goes through the process retroactively shows that he was always a Jewish neshama. That had to take a detour. We all take detours in life. And we all have to pay our dues. And once the tikkun is made, welcome back. Welcome back to the Jewish people. Okay, Ruth. Ruth says the Zohar was a Gilgal of Lot. It's incredible that neshamas can, what's it called, transgender. Ruth was a Gilgal of Lot. If you remember the same language that Abraham uses on Lot, he pored nomi alai. Abraham tells Lot, separate from me. Do you think it didn't break Abraham's heart when he said, okay, uncle, what should he have said? My uncle, I'll never leave you. I can't leave you. You're my link to Hashem. And when he said, goodbye, uncle, you think it didn't break Abraham's heart? Cried like a baby. But so Lot failed the test. The test was to say, I'll never leave you. He failed. Centuries later, Hashem brought him back as Ruth. And the very same words that Abraham said, look at the text, it's incredible. The same words that Abraham uses on Lot, he pared nomi alai, separate from me, the very same words Naomi uses now on Ruth, separate from me. And this time she says, don't try that again with me. This time I'm not going to fail. But I'm never going to leave you. That was her tikkun. She failed as Lot. She came back to mitaken his Ruth. Incredible. This time she passed with flying colors. Ruth, the Gilgal of Lot, the grandmother and the grandfather of Melech HaMashiach. Same exact language. Separate from me. This time she says, nothing doing. Failed once. I'm not going to fail again. Yes? Any other questions? Okay.
Can I ask you
this? Before you ask, Verna, Nachmanides says that the book of Job was written. Who wrote the book of Job? Moses. Moses wrote the book of Job. Nachmanides says, why did God tell Moses to write the book of Job? What's the book of Job? Why do bad things happen to good people? Job was a tzaddik, a righteous person, and he suffered. So Nachmanides explains, or Rabbeinu Bachya, the two great Kabbalists, God told Moses to write the book of Job, that if you see a righteous person suffering, it means that he's a Gilgal. Even though Job was righteous now, if he's suffering, it means he has excess baggage. from a previous lifetime, and that suffering is the tikkun for unfinished business. And that's why God told Moshe Rabbeinu to write the book of Job. Tzadik v'raloi, it means a Gilgal. We can't explain. Or the suffering of children, Layalein. The only answer, says Nachmanides, is Gilgulim. We only see a tiny piece of the puzzle. We don't know where we were before. And, you know, what's 70, 80 years, 90 years? What's 100 years compared to eternity? This is just one stop on the road. People think, is that all there is? What's 100 years compared to eternity? Our neshamas are immortal. Where have we been? And where are we going? This is just one pit stop. And the Zohar says something amazing. Anybody you meet in this lifetime, it's unfinished business. No coinkydinky. When you meet somebody and you interact, you have some unfinished business with that person from a previous cycle.
But the cycle stops.
According to Baal Shem Tov, okay? Baal Shem Tov says we're here for the last time, okay?
Yeah.
Baal Shem Tov said we're here for the last time, okay? That's what Baal Shem Tov said. Right? Yes?
There are people that some of us may live very long lives.
Right.
And it happens that we come back many, many times to finish business. And
uh-huh.
God, I don't think God is right because it's...
Oh, God is always right. God is always right. But let's look at Bamidbar 17, verse 23. After Korach is swallowed up in the ground, the Jews continue to murmur. Bamidbar 17, verse 23. That's page 242. The people continue to murmur, right? What is verse 22? You see verse 22, buddy? You want to read that? Vayanach Moshe. You want to read that? Vayanach
Moshe et hamatatot lufnei Hashem ba'oel
ha'idut. Moses collects all of the staffs of the princes, right? Remember? And he puts them where? And he puts them where? Into the tabernacle. Right? And the next morning a miracle happens. What's the miracle? These are all staffs detached from the tree. Verse 1. These are all staffs. Each prince carried a staff. Like a rebbe walks around with a walking stick. Each prince carried a staff. So they all gave their staffs to Moses. And he put them where? In the tabernacle. And the next morning... Verse 23. You want to read that, please? Verse 23, Panina. In English. Verse 23. We go faster. Yeah, if you read it. Verse 23.
And there's the stuff of
Aaron. Yeah, the next morning, Moshe came in and he found that the staff of Aaron had what?
Sprouted.
Blossoms, and it grew what? Shkedim, right? So a miracle happened that this staff of Aaron, just his staff, all the other staffs remained as it were. Aaron's staff grew shkedim. A miracle. A staff which is detached from the tree. A miracle happened. What? It grew flowers, blossoms, and what? And almonds. Huh? What's the point? What's the message? To prove that Korach was... The people still didn't believe that Korach was wrong. They thought Moshe set him up for the hit. They thought it was a setup. Moshe said, bring Ketores, remember? And they all got zapped, and he got swallowed up. The people were not convinced that what? That Moshe was right, that Aaron was right. Hashem said, the test is going to be, all of you princes deposit your staffs, and it'll be a miracle that the staff of Aaron will come alive and what? Blossoms, flowers, and eshkedim. What's the message? Why we need to know this in the year 2009? What's the message? What's the message for us? There are many movements that start out with flowery talk. Great promise, right? Fancy slogans, flowery words. But flowers, after a while, what happens? They wilt. They wither. But there's no fruit over there. Ah. What's the test? If the end result is fruit, that's only if Nei Hashem. See verse 22? Vayanach Moshe Samatos with Nei Hashem. If you want a movement to succeed, verse 22, Alex, yeah? If you want the movement not just to be fancy slogans, flowery words that have no what? Essence. Then the substance, the movement has to be Lifnei Hashem. Only then will the flowery words turn into fruit. But if it's not Lifnei Hashem, it's your own ego that you're feeding, like Korach. It's just jealousy and envy. Then it's just fancy slogans, flowery words, but there is no fruit. You hear what the message over here? That's the test. Only if a movement is with Nei Hashem, then it will bear fruit. Otherwise, it's a bluff. All the movements, humanism, communism, what happened to them? Flowery words.
How do we
bluff?
How do we prevent that which was done? How do we prevent all of this, frankly, bad stuff? How do we prevent...
Stay away from the green-eyed monster. Vern, I'll tell you something incredible. You check the Ten Commandments? There are many human failings. There's greed. There's vanity. There's anger. The only human failing, Harold, listed in Ten Commandments is what? Lo tachmo, don't be jealous. Of all the human failings to list, the only one the Ten Commandments list is the green-eyed monster. Lo tachmod, lo titaveh. Because that is the root of all evil. Jealousy, kinah. If it's not checked, it'll destroy a person. It'll give him a stroke, a heart attack, he'll eat himself up. You can't be happy with what you have if you're looking at the next guy. It'll destroy you, you'll be miserable. So the only human failing listed in the Ten Commandments is don't be envious. The root of unhappiness is what?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. You can't appreciate what you have if you're always looking in the other guy's backyard. So what you have means nothing. Hey, he has more. He has better. Makes a person miserable. And destroys him. What?
Are males more subjected to this type?
You tell me. I don't know.
I think they are.
You think males are more subjected to envy?
No. You think so?
No, it's equal.
For different reasons.
Especially, you know, a loss of a job or business.
So let me ask you, Bernard, how could the Torah command not to be jealous? It's an emotion. One of the Ten Commandments is Lo Sachmo, don't be jealous. I can tell you don't steal and don't murder.
Why can you tell me that?
Because that's an action.
I want to murder.
But it's an action. It's an action.
It can be stopped outside.
But how?
It can be stopped outside.
It's a murder.
From outside?
Yeah, someone can stop a person from murdering.
But how could God command you not to be jealous? To answer this question, you got to what? Ask another question. Avram, you with me? I mean, why is jealousy up there on the top 10? It doesn't seem to fit. Is it as bad as murder? What's in the Ten Commandments? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't blaspheme. Don't kidnap. It doesn't say steal. It says don't kidnap. Those are all capital crimes. Why is don't be jealous up there with the top 10? Alex, it doesn't seem to be on the top 10 hit parade. Does it fit with murder? Does it fit with adultery?
Yeah.
But why?
The reason
for that. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Because if you don't control your jealousy, you'll come to knock off the husband and steal the wife. If you don't check your jealousy, that's where it comes from.
Are there any
the amount of children they have.
Right. Kina, if it's not checked, will destroy the person and the object of the kina. And therefore, it's up there in the top 10.
Someone ever give us anything to...
What?
Give us any command without knowing that we could fulfill it. He would never give it to us.
We shall overcome. That's our test. God says, you can do it. Show me what you're made of. Only when the tough get going, when the going gets tough, is the tough get going. A person cannot become great. A person cannot grow spiritually unless he is what?
Challenged.
Tempted. Challenged, and we shall overcome. Of course you can fail, but if you pass, you become great. The struggle is what makes one great. To struggle and to overcome, to achieve. But you can't achieve without the struggle, without the temptation. It's not possible. It's not possible.
Like it says, love your neighbor like yourself.
It doesn't say that. But that's a different shear. In the beginning of the book of Genesis, there's an incredible medrash. First it says that God created the two great lights. And then it says he created the big light and the small light. So what happened? What happened? First, the verse says two great lights. Then the end of the verse says, wait a minute. Great light and a small light. What happened? So the Medrash says that what? That the moon was jealous and complained. And therefore what?
He got
cut down to size. Let's get real. When's the last time you heard the moon complain? Avram. When's the last time you heard the moon complain? So the Ramban tells us that the Talmud is made up of two parts. Halacha and Agada. Only the halachic part of the Talmud must be taken literally. The agadic part of the Talmud is not allowed to be taken literally. It's an allegory. What's the lesson? Don't you dare complain of the gifts that Hashem gave you and look what someone else has, because God said that you can lose it. Jealousy is so self-destructive. Hashem is saying, the moon was great. It had everything. It couldn't stand that the other guy was just as great. So it lost what it has. Message, don't complain and don't be jealous, because Chas V'Sholom will be a boomerang. That's the allegory of the moon complaining. The jealousy, it cut it down. It reduced it to an empty shell. Jealousy will destroy you. Yes?
Is he accepted his role because...
Who, the moon?
Yes, because he gets a greater bracha than the sun.
What's the greater bracha?
The bracha is Rosh Chodesh.
The moon is only one point.
Yeah.
The sun is only one.
And the bracha is very special to the moon, and for the sun, was very special.
But the sun is gigantic. The moon doesn't even have its own light. It's an empty shell. Because what's the message? That if you complain and you are jealous, then God forbid Hashem will take away what he gave you. You can't be happy with what you have. Then Hashem says, you don't need it. Chas v'Sholom. Very dangerous concept. Very dangerous concept. There's an amazing, the Mishnah says, what's the secret to being happy? Eizya Oshir HaSameach V'Chelko. Who is happy? What's the secret to happiness? Says the Mishnah, what? Eza Oshir. Who is considered wealthy? Hasameach Bechelko. Does that mean Bill Gates? Who is happy? The secret to happiness. So the Medrash says Oshir is an acronym. What's an acronym mean? NYPD.
Right.
Mm-hmm. LAPD? Oshir is an acronym. Enayim. Shinayim. You're dying and raglayim. That person has his anayim. And he has his shinayim. And he has your dying. And he has raglayim. That's the most important thing. Appreciate the gift that Hashem gave you. That makes you happy. Otherwise, you wind up like the moon. Chas v'sholom, losing it. You're not happy with what Hashem gives you. Your health. You're able to walk and talk. And you take it for granted?
Miserable person.
Sameach b'chelko. You want to be happy with your lot in life? Appreciate that you have eyes. And you have teeth. And you have your zayin or lion. Don't take it for granted. Appreciate it. And you'll be a happy person. But if you look what Yedems have, you'll never be happy. Yedems, right? Makes you miserable.
The other guy.
Yedems himself. Any questions, comments? Yes?
You think that a winning a race, if you concentrate on what you're doing,
the other guy, right? Oh, he's looking behind you, right? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Shalom. Thank you.